This is the Sparkle and Boom Podcast Network. Experience the magic of America's favorite seaside town, Newport, Rhode Island, with Buck and Helena.
This is episode 87 of That Newport Show. Please support our sponsors as they help make this show possible.
Our sponsors this week are Gurney's Newport Resort and Marina and the Newport Buzz. This is Buck Harris.
And this is Helena B. And you're listening to That Newport Show on the Sparkle and Boom Podcast Network. It is so good to be back.
It is good. We got a little professionalized in our office and our recording studio, which feels good. Sound is better. And we're ready to rock and roll.
It is. We made a small investment in some upgraded equipment. And my God, what a difference it makes.
It makes you more relaxed when you invest in something that you truly believe in. And when you're trying to do something and you're not quite all the way there, it kind of comes through in your tone in everything that you do.
Yeah.
It's interesting how that works.
And if you listen to our show before this episode, you'd be like, I don't know what was wrong with it. It was just fine. It will be interesting to hear the finished product of this episode and then compare it to previous episodes, just based on the confidence and the comfort of having upgraded equipment.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I'll notice a difference.
You will. Well, you have a very fine ear and a fine eye for design and nuances and things like that. I'm a little more generalist in my thinking and hearing and seeing. So I may not notice a difference, but as long as you notice a difference, I think that's true of anything. As long as I notice a difference for myself in something that's important to me, that's all that really matters.
Well, I'm a bit of a freak show. I notice everything.
Yeah, you're a freak show. That's why I love you.
You're my freak show. So why have we been gone so long? You know what? We really haven't been gone that long. We've been gone for 2 months, but when you have a weekly podcast, rule is, don't take a break. You got to put a show out every week, no matter what, because podcasting is about establishing relationships with your listeners. Mm-hmm. It's about connecting each other. And that's really what Buck and I are here for. Would you say, Buck?
I think that's what we're all about. Yeah. Inspiring people while we inspire ourselves. It's a fun place to be in.
So 2017 rolling into 2018 actually has been a very, very busy year of change for us. So many things were turned upside down beginning last February, and our podcast, while trying hard to keep up with it all and still maintain that vision of a community podcast with great content, definitely suffered a bit. And as I wrote in my blog post, that's okay, because without pain and a little suffering, there can be no growth.
Well, it's two steps forward and one step back. So we took two big steps forward. We produced 86 shows over a little over 2 years. That's a lot of production. And we moved and we started jobs, like all kinds of things happened. We have a 15-year-old who's in sports. Two steps forward, one step back. We're ready to go two steps forward again. And that's a really exciting place when the ebb and flow of life gets you back in that spot. You're in the starting gate again.
I know.
It feels so good.
I know. Well, at first we thought there would be no room in this new life for the podcast life. And that was a very painful realization because, you know, Buck and I really love podcasting. I've been doing it for almost 10 years. And of course I roped him into it and he's fallen in love with it just as much. You know, the thing that we love most about podcasting is that it's full of passionate people. It's full of opportunities to learn new things and to share thoughts and feelings and experiences. But mostly it is that chance to connect with our community and to help our community connect with each other, whether that's through a shared love of tequila, in my case, or esoteric principles that Buck and I sometimes talk about that help lead us to balanced and happy lives. Staying connected to one another is what human life on Earth needs, especially now.
I could not agree more. And we've had some really interesting, fascinating people on the show. I mean, we really have. We've hit kind of a lot of the high Newport spots, you know, and we're going to talk about some of those today in the show. And it's really fun to go back and revisit them a little bit because it all feels brand new again.
It does feel brand. And we're like, Buck and I are sitting here in our studio, which has also been outfitted with some better soundproofing equipment. And there's still a ways to go. But so we're sitting here in the studio looking at each other like a couple of goofballs because we're just so happy to be back. And you know, the universe finds ways of making space so that we can do what makes us happy and so we can fulfill a purpose. Squeezing in time to produce our wonderful show is not going to be easy. But every time we push that publish episode button, the joy of the finished product is worth every bit of crazy that goes into the making of it. And just ask Buck, there's plenty of crazy that goes into it.
Well, and we're going to get back to Newport More again because we have a reason to go again.
And we're settled in our house.
We're settled now. So we have the time and the space. And when we start hanging around here too much, then the house doesn't feel as special anymore. So I'm really excited about getting back over to Newport on a regular basis and meeting so many great people that are there waiting to be on our show and exploring all these relationships with them. So it's going to be awesome.
We hope you'll stick around while we gear up for our third year of that Newport show. And I like to use metaphors all the time. This one is kind of a favorite one. Re-entry into the podcast atmosphere is going to be a bit bumpy, but in the end, this little rocket ship of ours has had enough time in outer space. We miss our listeners and we miss our podcast life. So we're ready to come home and we hope that you, our listeners, will stick around to meet us there.
Clear for landing.
All right. Before we move on to the rest of this week's episode, we just want to say thank you to our sponsor, Gurney's Newport Resort and Marina. Gurney's is the place to be when you're in Newport. Whether you live here, go to school here, or are simply visiting the Ocean State, there's so much to do at this super chic, yet super friendly hotel and resort that sits right on Newport Harbor. As much fun in the winter as it is in the summer, now is a great time to enjoy one of Gurney's three restaurants, their top-notch accommodations, or the always fun nightlife with a great bar and live music. Follow them on Facebook or Instagram, or just log on to their website at gurneysnewportresort.com. So we're going to start off the 2018 summer episode with two of our favorite things to do in Newport. Going to the polo matches, Newport Polo, and visiting the mansions that are part of the Newport County Preservation Society, you know, like Rosecliff and the Breakers. They're popular attractions because they're really fun. I mean, they're a good time.
They're fantastic.
And they're affordable.
Yeah, and there's one's a rainy day thing and one's a sunny day thing. So I like it that we've got kind of two opposite sides of the summer weather spectrum because the weather's a big part of Newport. And choosing what you're going to do based on the weather certainly makes sense.
Yeah, because you know the weather always messes up your plans. And especially here, you never know what you're going to get. I mean, we're in Little Compton. We can go across the river onto Aquidneck Island in Newport, and the weather's totally different there.
Right.
So I like this. You're right. One sunny, one not so sunny.
Okay.
Or even if it's too hot, it's nice to go to the mansions.
It is.
Where it's air-conditioned and cool, and there's all that marble.
I don't think they're air-conditioned.
They have to be air-conditioned. Are they? They're air-conditioned.
We've been there. I don't remember.
They're air-conditioned. Well, you know what? Even if they're not officially air-conditioned, they're physically air-conditioned.
Yeah, they're cool.
Because of all the stone and the marble. Mm. Okay. So I'm going to start by asking you what you think about Newport Polo, like what you like about it, what you don't like about it.
Okay.
Okay, so you're going to be my guest.
All right.
All right, so we go to Newport Polo. We don't go every weekend, but we tend to go to a lot of matches. What do you like best about going there?
Well, first of all, we love horses. So there's nothing more magnificent than seeing two horses streaking down the field after one another with a polo player mount on each one and a mallet swinging at the ball trying to score and fend each other off. It's very exciting. The thundering hooves are real.
The sport of it all.
The sport of it.
Yeah.
I mean, when you sit down there by the field and they go flying by, it's a rush every single time. But I also like that you can bring a picnic and meet friends there. You can tailgate and meet 20 friends there. You can sit and dine in style with a beautiful hat and a dress and a sport coat and have service. So there's really all these different ways to enjoy polo. And I think that that's really a wonderful aspect of the whole, what's the word, the extravaganza of the sport.
Yeah. So there's flexibility in it. I mean, there's something for every mood that you're in.
Yeah, it can be enjoyed so many different ways.
Yeah.
Like when my sister came, we got all dressed up and went.
Yeah.
That was so fun. And we had table service. We've met family there and just, you know, had coolers. And
it's awesome for a date night. It's such a great place to meet either a new person that you're dating or if you need to reconnect with your spouse or something, because it's so easy to do.
Yeah, very accessible. And you know what's fun too is walk around and see what people bring, because people set up like candelabras and tables and set them. And some people, you know, have grills going and all the different smells that are taking place. And then they have a great catering thing there. So there's lots of good food and a full bar. You really can't ask for more.
It's a party. It's a party at a sport event. Tailgating at Newport Polo is, it's a big thing for a reason. So let's go back to the horses for a minute, because having had a fair amount of horse experience in your life, owning horses yourself, how would you describe the experience from a horse person's point of view?
Envious. I am so envious of people who are good enough to ride and daring enough to do that. I really am. And I'm not at a point in my life where I can take up polo.
Yeah.
So I definitely get that envious feeling. And that's good. Like it's exciting to be that close to it and yeah, not be able to do it. But I have so much respect. And we've met some of the riders. And, you know, it's so fun at the end. They do that big circle where all the riders ride past everyone and people get down by right on the field. And you stick your hand out and they all slap your hand as they go by. That is like the most magical moment.
I know.
No, that's not your favorite part, though.
It's not?
No, your favorite part's when we go out and stomp the divots and all the dogs are out on the field.
It is my favorite part. I know, but that's an incredibly frustrating moment for me, because I just want to get down on the grass and roll around with these dogs and have them lick me to death and, you know, get rough and tumble with them. And of course, they're all groomed and nice, and I'm groomed and nice, so we can't get dirty. But yeah, I do like seeing all the dogs. But I also like getting up close to those horses when they go by, because a polo pony is actually not even, a lot of times it's not a pony at all. They're tall enough to be horses, but they do tend to be smaller in stature than your average pleasure or hunter jumper type horse. But they are like the gymnasts of horse athletes. They are so flexible and limber and quick on their feet that their musculature really tells the story of their physical job.
They're beautiful.
I appreciate looking at their bodies and the way their bodies work, even in this sort of victory gallop that they have.
What's the difference between the build of a polo pony, a racehorse, and a hunter jumper? Just 1 minute.
So a racehorse is typically thoroughbreds, and they're long, they're lanky. Their bodies tend to be, they pull themselves along the track, so they tend to have, just through their physical training, their chests are a little bit deeper. They have an engine in back, but it's not like a quarter horse who's built for for sprints. But so thoroughbreds tend to be longer, lankier, leaner. Polo horses are compact. So again, think of like Mary Lou Retton, a little bit on the smaller side with more well-distributed musculature. Their legs are a little bit shorter, so they're able to stop short, turn fast, move laterally, meaning from left to right, a lot quicker than, say, a thoroughbred, or what you find in the hunter jumper world, or these Grand Prix show jumpers, who are a lot of times warm bloods. So they're a little heavier built, heavier bones, a little bit bigger engine in their tush so that they can push off their bones. And their back legs are thicker, so they can actually push off and launch over these large jumps.
Because they need to jump, right.
Exactly.
Yeah, and Mary Lou, if you're listening, we're really not saying that you look like a horse, okay? This is another Helena metaphor. I just want to make sure that
Mary Lou Retton was my idol growing up. Yeah, she's like my spirit animal. So yeah, so that's why I kind of appreciate the polo ponies.
Okay, that's awesome. I'd love to hear that.
Now, you know, polo is definitely a multi-generational event. You can enjoy it if you're 23, 83, or 3. If you were an 8-year-old Buck Harris, what would you like best about going to Newport Polo?
I think I would like, an 8-year-old Buck Harris would really want to get on a horse. I would want my dad to take my hand and take me down to the barns and introduce me to the players and just let me sit on a polo pony once. That would be like getting to sit in a rocket ship for me.
So really being around the horses is the most exciting to you.
Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, we lived in Albany, New York for like a year, and we went to Saratoga Springs to the racetrack once. And when you're there, you get to go behind the grandstand and where the horses are paraded around when they first come out. And I liked that more than the actual race because you got to get so up close to the horses. And I was so stunned by how beautiful they were. Horses are, and I have an interesting relationship. I never really choose horses. I never seek them out, but I've never been separate from them my entire life. I find that to be quite interesting. I love them.
Well, I've being completely horse obsessed myself, I get that. And I think if you have a child who is at all interested in animals, nature, outdoors, I think it's a great place to bring them because they can safely observe the animal doing. Really, polo is pretty close at some points to what a horse likes to do, run in groups, right? I mean, they don't move as much. There's a lot of stuff that obviously they don't do in the wild, but it's they have the opportunity to run and be in a group, and that makes horses happy. So to have kids exposed to that kind of activity with horses, I think is a great way for them to be introduced to what the world of horses could be like.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that there's a downside to polo, but what about the Newport polo matches are you not too keen about?
Well, I think polo needs to have a goalie. I don't get this whole thing where you can just score without a goalie. Okay, that's my first. That's my little rules pet peeve.
All right.
But I get it. You don't want to have a horse there trying to block them. I get it. But still, it's just weird. There's no goalie.
There's not enough ambulances in the world to deal with that.
My pet peeve about polo in general, going to the polo match at Newport Polo, I wouldn't even call it a pet peeve. I would just say that you got to get there early because if you haven't made plans ahead of time and you show up 20 minutes before the match, you're going to be six or eight people deep and trying to see through people in front of you. And that just lends itself to the popularity of the sport.
Yeah.
But it is popular, so you kind of have to be prepared to get there, I would say, a full hour to even 2 hours ahead of time and make it a real afternoon event. You can't just decide, oh, let's go over to the polo match. It's going to start in, you know, right, 5 o'clock. I do, on the flip, I do love that you can reserve space. You can reserve a table if you have eight people and you want a place to sit. You can reserve a table ahead of time. And I love the idea of tailgating. We haven't done that yet, but maybe we'll do that this year.
We did sort of like tailgate light. We had picnics. We always bring picnics, food and
but not back in the car, the truck up and having the grill.
We're gonna back
that.
The truck up. Yeah, we got to do a down home type. Of, yeah, you know what we should do? We should do a fox hunting tailgate.
Okay. Okay.
We're totally gonna do a fox hunter's tailgate.
All right.
Okay. There are porta potties there, which I'm never too keen on, but you deal with it. So just plan your drinking accordingly. Like, don't overhydrate before you get to the match.
They're clean. They're clean.
They're fine. You know. But, you don't want to keep making, first of all, because they're porta potties, there's always a line.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying is like, you just kind of have to, whatever your peeing plan is, make sure you've got that plan down before you get there. The other thing is, it's kind of funny though, people watching. There's a lot of cool people there. There's
I
a lot of
the people
fun
watch.
People there. And there's a lot of wannabes there too.
Oh,
so
man.
It's, but you know what? We're watching, Buck and I are a little bit older than your average bear. So we tend to watch the younger crowd spread their feathers and show their wares. And sometimes it's really awesome. And sometimes you just shake your head.
It's a little awkward.
So in a way that's kind of fun to watch. And sometimes it gets a little like, all right. But that's what makes it a horse race. If everybody was the same, if everybody dressed the same, looked the same, and behaved the same, boring.
Oh, people put on their Newport fancy.
Yeah,
they really do. It's really awesome. And they have bachelor parties, and they have bachelorette parties there, birthday parties, all kinds of stuff going on. Fantastic place. And it is really fun. You get to go out between each chukka and stomp the divots down and see the dogs running around, and people play frisbee and all that good stuff. So it's a wonderful, wonderful way to spend a Saturday afternoon in Newport.
If you'd like to check out Newport Polo this summer, and we think you should, go to their website, www.nptpolo.com. That's nptpolo.com. And make sure you let them know you heard about them on that Newport Show podcast. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the mansions.
So let's talk about the beautiful mansions of Newport. Everyone on the planet has heard of the mansions of Newport. And aren't we fortunate that we get to go there and actually walk around in them and experience the past, the present, and the beauty of those mansions. It's such an honor to go and experience them. We've been to three off the top of my head that I can remember: Rosecliff, the Breakers, and the Elms.
Yes.
So maybe you could tell me about the feeling that you got from each one of them. Your perfectly honest feeling that you got when you walked into each one and did the tour.
Okay. So the Breakers is the biggest. It's huge. It's massive. It is the most elaborate and probably the most entertaining because there are so many rooms. The rooms are very different. The decor within each room is so detailed and so copious. There's just so much of detail
that you
can spend just, you know, half an hour in one room looking at everything that there is there. If there is one mansion that you can go to when you come to Newport, it needs to be the Breakers.
Yeah.
That's just it.
It's the granddaddy.
It's the granddaddy, and it's a happy granddaddy at that.
It doesn't feel heavy, though. Some of the rooms do, but it's very light and airy because the ceilings are so high. It doesn't feel overwhelming somehow.
And you can take a tour. You can walk around on your own, or you can put the headsets on. Now, we haven't done the headsets, but having done the tour kind of on our own and reading the plaques that describe what goes on in each room, I think it would be fun for us to do the tour as well and kind of compare notes. What's it like to do the freestyle tour by yourself? And then what's it like to do the tour with the headphones? Rosecliff is smaller, but it's similarly elaborate. The couple of times that we've been, I mean, we go there actually quite often for Newport County Chamber events, for parties and stuff like that. It tends to host a lot of events. It's like the party mansion because the others are more museum-like, whereas it's Rosecliff is still actually used.
It's not as opulent as the Breakers.
No, although, I mean, you go into Rosecliff and you're like, holy cow, this is opulent. And then you go into the Breakers and you're just like,
Oops. I didn't know opulent.
But Rosecliff feels a little bit more accessible. Like you could go to a wedding there or you could go to a cocktail party there. It's elaborate. It's luxurious. But because of its slightly smaller size, you don't feel like you're in a museum necessarily.
Do you wish we had gotten married there?
No.
Okay.
I like where we got
married.
The
10 of us would have been lost.
I know. I just like roaming around Rosecliff and like being among all, you know, actually partying, like being in a beautiful dress and socializing with other people in the Rosecliff building.
Like
you really feel like you're back in the Gatsby era.
And what about the Elms?
The Elms I liked very much. Of course, we went at Christmas time. And I was a little disappointed.
It was supposed to be the big Christmas dealy bopper.
I was kind of bummed out.
Yeah.
By,
they had some poinsettias.
I'm like, it's definitely a cool mansion. Put it on your list to go to. But the Christmas thing was just a little underwhelming for me. What I really liked about the Elms, what I thought was just the absolute coolest, were the kitchens.
Mm.
And the servant system that they had in place. And the copper pots and the tools that they used.
It's like in the basement, too. It was like very interesting. And you could feel the presence of the spirits that had worked there before, right?
You really
could. You really got a sense of this was a real working kitchen.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, from the tile floors to the copper pots to the wooden rolling pins. You know, it was turn of the century stuff. And it was the best of that time. So you get a sense of what money could be. You know, we look at those tools like, oh, gosh, it's a wooden rolling pin. Yet that was the absolute best that money could buy at that time. And you get a sense of that in these rooms. So
if you inherited the Elms, what would you change about it?
Ooh.
You had $10 million to spend or $1 million to spend. A million doesn't go very far in a mansion. Let's say you had $5 million to spend. What would you change about the Elms?
I'd lighten it up a little bit.
Yeah.
You don't want to make things modern in these mansions, but I would lighten the colors, a lot of heavy wood. I might strip it down to a lighter stain or something. Just get more whites and brights and get rid of the heavy fabrics that were kind of the hallmark of the time.
It was lugubrious. There was like a sadness about the place.
Now that's a word, lugubrious.
Yeah, it was sad to me in there. It wasn't like the Breakers and Rosecliff are more opulent, but they're happier too. There's a lot of beautiful frescoes and
they're celebratory.
It's a you feel the energy of the place. The Elms was a mansion that was built for someone that wasn't as happy. I think
it was a little more austere.
Yeah.
Lugubrious, was that the word you used?
That's the word I used. Yeah, you're gonna. Everyone's Googling that right now.
I know. I'm gonna try lugubrious. But it's still worth going to because it is so representative of life in the era in which that home was built.
True.
And the stables
there was a lot of that, yes.
And the grounds at the Elm were actually a lot of fun to take a look at. So, yeah.
I was going to say that the grounds were actually my favorite part of that mansion. What do you find most fascinating about the mansions? Is it the architecture? Is it the interior design? Is it the history?
For me personally?
For you.
The interior design.
Okay.
The things that, the choices that people made in that time for comfort, you know, I'm a huge fan of textiles and fabrics and materials. So from tile to stone to fabrics that they used in the and their draperies.
Well, they used fabrics for wallpaper in a lot of the rooms too, because they didn't really have maybe they did have wallpaper, but
yep.
They chose to use fabrics instead. I mean, what a rich experience that is. And of course, they probably came from someplace in India or, Kathmandu or someplace where you would never get those fabrics. Because that's what a lot of these people did. They traveled the world and they got things for their homes because I think there was a very competitive environment going on there.
Oh, for sure.
You had to outdo your neighbor. That's a pretty big step.
When you have all of God's money to spend, it's kind of fun.
My favorite thing is the history of the families, like to feel the presence of the I don't know, like the ghosts that were there when it was built and created. I would love to go back in time and see it in operation. That's what always makes me kind of jazzed up about being in the mansions.
And that's where the Preservation Society comes in. They not only maintain the mansions, but they bring you the history. So they kind of do what we do. They dig a little bit deeper. They dig underneath the facade of what you're seeing and give you the story of the families who actually lived there and created these legacies.
Yeah, we got to do the headphones next time. I think we'll get a little more info. If it was 1920 and you were my date, we weren't married yet, and I invited you to come to a party at the Breakers with me, what would you wear?
Sequins.
Ooh.
And fringe.
You'd be a flapper.
And it would be red. Ruby red.
Ruby red.
Yo, I would wear a ruby red sequined.
And what shoes would you wear?
Dress. Well, okay, so the sequins would be red with undertones of silver.
Okay.
And so my shoes would be silver.
Oh, I like it. Oh, I love it. Let's not even go to the party. Let's just get dressed up and stay home. If it was 1920 and you worked at the Breakers, what job would you have?
I would clean. I would clean.
Okay.
I would clean. I would be so focused on maintaining that beauty and the energy. So for me, clean. I love to clean. If you guys follow along this podcast, you'll know I love to clean because it frees up so much energy.
Mm-hmm.
And these houses are built with love, passion, competitiveness, all that energy. And I think keeping them clean and tidy is a way to keep that energy flowing through their walls. I know it's strange, but that's my weirdness.
Well, of course, I don't think it occurred to you that you might be able to work in the stable. So you might like that. But no, I get the whole cleaning thing. I would love to work in the kitchen. I think that would be a really exciting place to be there. Of course, I'm a kitchen person, so that's where I gravitate. But I think it would be almost more fun to work there and be part of the staff and all the politics that go on behind the scenes than actually be a family member and have to play the role of a family member. There's something more genuine about getting your hands dirty and getting to work. So wrapping up our segment on the mansions.
Yep.
Tell our listeners a little bit about the Cliff Walk. If they've never been there, how the mansions and the Cliff Walk kind of play together and what they could expect by doing the Cliff Walk.
So Cliff Walk is a 3.5 mile walking path that looks over the Atlantic Ocean and runs along the backside of the mansions. And it's free. So that's probably my favorite thing about it. So you can do it anytime you want.
Yeah.
You know, if you need to go for a walk after you've had dinner, or you want to take the baby out in the stroller or take your dog for a walk, you're just like, all right, I'm going to go down the Cliff Walk and enjoy one of the most beautiful views in the world. Mm-hmm. The ocean in New England is stunning. It's powerful. It's peaceful. It's beautiful. And because it's cliffs, the ocean, the waves are always hitting the cliffs. So you always have that rushing sound of the water down below you. And you're just immersed in the smell of the salty air.
Yeah. So it's like the opposite side. So you have Newport Harbor, which is very calm and peaceful and where all the boats are.
Right.
The mansions are on the other side of that peninsula. And so you've got the open Atlantic that's crashing against those big cliffs, and that's what protects the harbor from the Atlantic Ocean. You can't really feel that when you're there, but that's actually the way the geography works. And then First Beach is right there.
Right. Yeah. Well, there's you know, the bulk of Newport, that southern tip of Aquidneck Island is between Newport Harbor and the Atlantic Ocean. So there's a fair amount of land.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what I say. You really can't get the feel for that, but that's the way the layout is. So
yeah,
what do you love about it?
So I love that it's free. So I can get there anytime I want, that I can take my dog, I can take my kid, I can take myself, I can run, I can stroll, I can sit down on a bench and just think or people watch. And it's literally the power of the Atlantic Ocean on one side of you and then the grandeur of these mansions.
It's amazing.
On the other side of you. So when you're walking down this path, it's a very comfortable right in the middle place for me.
Yeah.
So I get to experience both of those without having to sacrifice anything for either of them.
And the perspective of the mansions from there is completely different than the perspective of the mansions from the front. So you really get a different feel for each of the mansions. And you can walk along and see them kind of one by one. I've never walked the whole thing, but I know you've done it. You did it with your family a few years ago. And it's just a powerful place. So if you go to see the mansions and it's a nice day and you want to get outside, definitely take a walk on the Cliff Walk.
And I think that's going to be a wrap for this week's show. Wow, what a way to come back.
Yeah, I'm all jazzed.
What a great conversation we had. Like,
let's get in the car and go to Newport.
I know. I know.
We're so lucky.
Well, you know, now that we are settled in the house, we, again, if you've been following the show for the last 86 episodes, you know that we have horses. We've moved. Right now, we're in the process of trying to set up the new property so that we can bring our horses home. Actually, we only have one at the moment. He's boarded someplace, and we'd like to bring him home. But, of course, horses eat grass and lots of it. So we're watching our clocks, waiting for the new grass to grow.
We just cleared almost an acre of woods, and we're finishing up pulling the roots out by hand.
Oh, God.
And picking rocks. And
yeah,
we've got about 3/4 of it seeded, maybe a little more than that. But it's fun to see the green grass come up, but it's got to take root. We also converted our garage to a barn.
Yeah.
So, sorry, cars, you have to live outside.
For now.
Horses first.
For now. So anyway, as we're starting to get a stronger foothold in this new home of ours, we can venture out once again and bring you lots of really cool stories of our adventures in Newport, and actually in Newport County, which is a couple of other towns, including Little Compton, which is our big secret. And speaking of secrets, if you'd like to get the inside scoop, I mean, the real deal, super secret squirrel stuff, join our private Facebook group. We will have all kinds of cool stuff there. Invitations to private events that we go to or host, special deals and promotions from our sponsors, and restaurant reviews that you might not hear on the regular show. So again, join us on Facebook. It's our private group. Just look for That Newport Show and ask for an invite. We'd love to have you.
Thanks for joining us today. Details about this episode can be found at thatnewportshow.com.
If you like our show, you can sign up for free automatic downloads from Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or Stitcher Radio. It's called subscribing. Just search for That Newport Show and hit the subscribe button.
Many thanks to this week's sponsors, Gurney's Newport Resort and Marina, and The Newport Buzz.
Well, that's it for this week's show.
We hope you enjoyed it.